So, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And to enjoy Him forever? I don't like that too. That's how it is here. So, everybody, we're going to try it again. Ready? What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Very well. We all got the two. What rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. Didn't rattle that off quite as easily. It's kind of amazing to me. I know an awful lot of people who know the correct answer or an approximation of the correct answer of man's chief end. I don't know very many people at all who know the correct answer to question two off the top of their head. Because we don't practice it that often. So hopefully, as we work our way through this, we will get better and better at knowing them. Okay. So, let's look at question number one. What does chief end mean? Main purpose. Okay? Chief end. Why do we start a catechism with that question? Yes. Okay. Don't establish who you are in your relationship to God. The rest of it means nothing. Because it's really important. Because you've got to start somewhere. Right?
Yeah, and we don't start with who is God.
So. We didn't start with who is God. We'll get there. But yes, there are several catechisms that do start with who is God. There are several catechisms that start with what is the Bible. This particular catechism starts with who am I? What is our reason for existence? Okay. You got to start somewhere. It's probably the most commonly asked question in the world, isn't it? How do we ask it? Why am I here? Yeah. Why am I here? What am I here for? What am I doing? So that's probably the most commonly asked question, other than how much does that cost? Yeah, that's philosophically speaking, the most commonly asked question is, why am I here? What's our reason for existence? What is our purpose? Okay?
What happens along with, you know, what happens to us after that? If we die, if we don't have a purpose, then there's nothing to look forward to after we die.
Well, you're several weeks ahead. We got to get there, but yes. Can you make the reference to the movie from last night? You already made the reference to the movie from last night, so go ahead and make your reference.
Is it the same? Is it what we said?
Go ahead and make your reference.
When Loki says, your desire for freedom and independence.
fighting, and you were made to you were made to be ruled. What movie is this?
The Avengers. Yeah, Avengers is kind of a fascinating movie because it's a mixture of humor and a lot of philosophy, a lot of cultural references, and cartoons, which I happen to have grown up in the comic book generation, so I'm a huge fan. But there's some interesting philosophy in there, and one of the things that is said in the philosophy, Loki is presenting himself to the public for the first time, and he causes everyone to kneel down, and he says, isn't this perfect? This is the way things should be. You were not created for freedom, you were created to be ruled. And a person in the crowd stands up and says, yes, but not by you. So, and then of course, the movie continues, but there are several lines in the movie that were very appropriate. Not that one. There were also several lines in the movie that were extremely funny. Who gets to choose the purpose of something? Creator, the owner, right? If you make something, does that inherently give you some sort of right to define its purpose?
No, because sometimes we're told we have to make something. I'm just going to throw that in there.
Sometimes we're told we have to make something.
You know, we're told this is what you're going to make. You know, if you're in a communist
but by making it, aren't you still defining its purpose?
Are we actually making it, or are we utilizing the resources God has provided and the knowledge He has given us in order to?
Well, your choice is to do that or die. I mean, start with that.
But even in the act of creating something, let's say we're working for a communist regime and they're forcing us to make guns. Okay? We may not like the purpose, but we're making them for a purpose. And by making them, we're defining their purpose.
We're defining their purpose.
The gun is designed to shoot things.
By defining their purpose, we're defining our purpose, or the other way around?
Purpose of the object. The purpose of the thing made. Purpose of the thing created. You may not like the purpose that you're defining, as in this case where you're making something on behalf of someone else. For example, you may be fixing up a car to make it go really, really fast. Or you may be fixing up a car to make it go to Florida, and then you'll never get to drive it again. You may not like the purpose, but you're defining the purpose. Right? The creator of something is the person who has the authority to define its purpose. Okay? So therefore, who defines our purpose?
The potter.
The potter. Right? The creator. We were created. Therefore, our creator gets to define our purpose. And our purpose is? And to enjoy Him forever. Not and enjoy Him forever. So how do you glorify God? By doing what He commands. And not doing what He doesn't command. Yeah. Doing everything we're supposed to do and not doing anything we're not supposed to do.
Okay.
not committing any want of conformity unto, wait, we'll get there too. Is it possible for you to not glorify God?
I missed your question.
Is it possible for you to not glorify God? Okay. So our sin is glorifying to God.
No.
No.
But he uses it for his glory.
But he uses it for his glory, which would mean then that it's glorifying to him. Okay. He says, for every sin that we believers commit, his grace grows to cover it. So for every sin that you commit, God's grace gets greater. So therefore, should we sin so that grace may abound? Now, you kind of fell into a trap there because you went somewhere that I wasn't going. From a conclusion standpoint, but that's fair because it's an obvious conclusion. If our sin is glorifying to God, then who cares what we do? But I wasn't going there. Question is, does everything glorify God? Does our sin glorify God? Is there something that we can do that is not glorifying to God?
Inherently not glorifying. As far as it's purpose. It does not your eyes.
It's a straightforward question. But didn't we just say God uses sin for his glory?
But the converse of that is that believers are not able to glorify God. Unbelievers cannot glorify God.
Unbelievers cannot glorify God. Okay.
Again, he can use the sin of unbelievers for his glory. He can use it according to accomplish his will. Judas was not a believer yet. Judas was a key player.
Without the sin of Judas, would Christ have been crucified? That was God's plan for accomplishing the crucifixion, which accomplished Christ's purpose on earth. So, Judas's sin was glorifying to God. Wasn't glorifying to him, but it accomplished his purpose. Okay. And his purpose is ultimately glorifying to him.
But it wasn't glorifying to him.
Why do unbelievers have such a hard time talking to believers?
Because they're
Oh, wait a second. You just told me that it's wrong to do this, but it's what God wants you to do, and that's why it happened, and that's for His good, but doing it is wrong. It's God's will. It's what He knows that we do. We are going to do. It's what He predestined us to do, but He doesn't want us to do it.
Yeah. I'm complicating the issue, but I'm
grabbing her. And this is why believers have such a hard time talking to us. But it's true. We're having a hard time talking to each other. But it's true. There isn't any predestination versus free will. I have no idea what you're talking about. There is no verses there. Predestination and free will are one and the same thing. So, it is important. It is important. It is important in the sense that if we are called to glorify God, we have to know how to do that. If everything that we do is for God's glory, then does it matter what we do? And the answer to that question is yes. Everything that we do contributes to God's glory, because everything that we do is according to His plan, His perfect plan for His eventual conquest and destruction of sin. And His reigning on earth as He does now in heaven, and our eventual reunification with Him, that's all part of His plan. Yes?
Does that not then, I know this is coming on later, but does that not then mean that we have to know what the Word of God is and what's in it in order to know how He wants to be glorified?
That's absolutely a true statement. I'm not sure how it's a logical conclusion
from this,
but we'll get there.
Well, I'm just saying for our main purpose, you know, is to glorify Him. It sure is a big help fulfilling the purpose if you know how God defines and glorifies Him.
Right. That's question two. And we'll get there. But the question is, does what we do individually matter? Does our purpose in what we do individually matter? Okay? So, again, we're taking a word and we're giving it two meanings. What is our purpose? And what is our purpose? What is our purpose, the purpose for which we were created? Is the first meaning. What is the reason for your existence, is the purpose, or your chief end? For those of us who like the catechism term. Okay? Versus, what is your purpose when you are doing something? What is your motivation for doing that? That's an alternative meaning of the word purpose, and that is the thing that is critical when you're talking about your glorifying God. Everything that you do contributes to God's glory, because God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. It is all happening as He ordained. It is all part of His plan from the beginning to the end, and it will work. And it will work for His glory. He will be glorified through the sin of man as well as through the righteousness of man. So it's all for His glory. Our individual purpose, our individual obligation is to purpose to glorify God in our individual actions and with our lives. So, again, is that God's will that this happened? It's another place where we have this dual meaning. Yes, it's God's will that this happened because it's part of his eternal plan that this occurred. If it wasn't part of God's eternal plan that this occurred, it wouldn't have occurred. By definition. However, is this the way that God would have called for this to happen according to his revealed will? No. God's revealed will is not that one man shoots another, or not that we sin, or not that. That's not what God has said is our purpose or the action, the actions that we take should be. So, the chief end of man is to glorify God, not only because we can't help but glorify God, because we are created by him and we will be used according to his purpose, but also individually, our purpose should be in the things that we do to work for God's glory by following his revealed will. Does it make sense? Ah, motivation. But, okay. Why glorify God is the question. Because can't you glorify all sorts of things? Yourself? Know anybody these days that's any good at glorifying themselves? Wow! I did not expect to see fingers pointed. Did not expect to see fingers pointed. I thought maybe somebody was going to refer to the 7,000 commercials they've seen between last week and this week. Although 50% of those commercials, okay, 80% of those commercials are not glorifying anything. They're condemning. Right? But that's a reverse attempt to glorify, right? I must be good because I'm not as bad as this guy. Right? How sad is it when our country has come to the presentation of the lesser of two evils as the motivation for leadership? Yes, I'm a bad person, but not as bad as this guy. Right? And your qualification for office is the amount of dirt that you can find on the other person. Or make up about the other person, as the case may be. What's that? There may be. It's kind of fascinating. You watch the commercials and the, you know, I'm Fred Smoot and I authorized this ad. And then you've got the, this ad was not authorized by anybody. Wow. But quite literally, it's like there's action groups that, we want to say something about this candidate, but we can't be seen saying something like that about this candidate. So we're going to form a political action group and we're going to have them say it. And they're going to say that it wasn't us that said it. And then we're okay. Right. Sigh. End of bunny trail. Oh, come on. That wasn't that deep of a bunny trail. So, we can glorify ourselves. We can glorify other people. We can glorify things. But these are not what our purpose is to be. Our purpose is to glorify God. Why God?
Why?
Yeah, why God?
Why not?
He's a creator. Hey, I'm the one that gets to decide what answers are appropriate or not. My class. My class. My class. So. Why glorify God as opposed to all those other things? Why should we individually? I understand we were created for a purpose. We cannot help but fulfill that purpose. We can't help but fulfill that purpose. Why do we individually choose to glorify God?
Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Because we can. It's kind of hard not to look ahead, isn't it? Because he commands us to. Because we obey him. Because there's no other way into heaven. Okay. Because we can't help it. How about because he's worthy of it? Because he deserves it. Because he deserves it. Because he created us. Because our first natural instinctive response to the gift of life is to spit in his face. Right? That's Adam. Adam was the perfect man. Adam was the ultimate man. There was no flaw in him. Was the only man. And his first choice, when presented with the choice between obedience and disobedience, was to disobey. Why should we glorify God? Because despite that fact, he didn't destroy us. But instead, gave his son to die in our place. The punishment that we earned is death. Every one of us has earned death. The punishment that we will receive is eternal life. Reward. Punishment, reward. What we will receive. The wages that we will receive were earned by somebody else. And we will not receive the wages we earned. Why glorify God? How do we enjoy God forever? Don't sit in my classes for very long. Oh, I'm sorry, that's how do you enjoy life. How do we enjoy God forever? Yes. This is not our chief end here.
Enjoying it forever means there's more to it than just what we do here and how our sin glorifies God and how we make the choices to glorify God. It goes beyond that. I mean, our lives on this earth as compared to eternity?
Right, but I don't want to get caught up in Pascal's wager. Because the reality of it is, enjoy him forever includes now. And it must include now. It's really easy to say, well, how do you enjoy him forever? Get to heaven. Then, can't help it, right? Everything's wonderful. We will enjoy him forever. But if our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, If we put enjoying him forever off until heaven, why don't we just put glorifying him off until heaven, and then right now we'll just live as we want? Okay.
And that
you can't enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay. How do we enjoy God now? Yes.
I've always been glad that God has a sense of humor. Praise the book of the kids. That type of thing.
Yeah. Look at creation and look around at creation and enjoy God's sense of humor. We must, because it's part of our purpose, we must find joy in obedience. We must find joy in receiving the means of grace. We must find joy in the challenges of our lives. We must find joy in, consider it joy, brothers, when you are persecuted for my sake. How do you enjoy God? You should be enjoying God in every aspect of your life by availing yourself of the means of grace, by growing closer to Him, studying His Word so that the Holy Spirit is living in you and through you so that you can consider it joy when you face all kinds of trials and difficulties for His sake. So that you can consider it joy when you do the right thing. Well, that's very true. Right? The angels, the demons know Christ. The demons believe that Christ exists. They fear Him. But they haven't given themselves over to Him and His Lordship. Yes.
Right, not on your own accord, but through Christ. Hmm? He doesn't have a reason to attack churches or individuals that
Satan doesn't attack those who are doing his will. Why bother? Right? Make life easy for them. So consider it joy when the session is struggling with discipline issues in the congregation, and right, finances of the church are struggling, and people are having difficulty in relationships in the congregation, and we're under pressure from the outside, and the government is writing laws that challenge our ability to carry out our faith. Right? Yep, we're given the whole armor for a reason. Consider it joy. Do you really? Do you really? When somebody cuts you off on the highway, you smile. I'm so happy. Isn't that wonderful? I'm being tested. Or when the police lights flash behind you. Oh, wait, I'm not being persecuted in that case. Consider it joy when you get busted for doing something wrong. Right? All the trials of your life, all the hardships. When it rains in a hurricane and you're in another country and your wife calls and says, there's water pouring through the ceiling into the washing machine of all places, which is wonderful. Straight into the washing machine. Consider it joy. What is the chief end of man? They got it right. No, they got it right. You guys got it wrong. Let's try again. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end, glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Okay. You have the handouts for next week. I encourage you to spend some time this week looking through the references. You're welcome to use them as a family devotional guide. If you didn't get one, there are more in the back. And let's look to the Lord together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of the challenges of everyday life. Father, we thank you for the way in which your word encourages us, for the comfort that we see in your word, that these challenges are trials and tests, and yet through them all, Lord, continue to give us joy. Help us to delight in you. Help us to grow closer to you. Send your Holy Spirit to us as a comforter and as a guide, such that we would do your will, such that we would have the purpose on a daily basis of glorifying you. And Lord, let our actions, let our thoughts be glorifying to you throughout this week. Bring us together again in safety, and we ask these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.